So happy Mother's Day. Wow, this is such a big day, isn't it? Yeah, give yourselves a hand for being great mothers. So we want to honor everybody who plays this significant role in our world as mother, and that might be the way we classically think of mother, but you might identify yourself as a mother in some other way. So whoever identifies themselves as a mother, we invite you to stand now and receive our blessing. Together, let's bless the mamas. Mothers, we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we behold the divine mother in you. And as the children do, psh, 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 extra blessings landing in your hearts. Truly, we are so grateful for our mothers, aren't we? Yeah. So this is also my first day back after a 3-month sabbatical, for those of you who I might meeting for the first time. Yeah, it's good to be home. So throughout the week, this song was going through my mind, as songs often do. Anybody else have this thing that happens? Yeah. And so this one is by Kelly Hunt, the blues singer, and it's Back in the Saddle Again. And I realized after singing it for a little while that is a great analogy for Kelly, because she wrote it when she was getting back into the dating scene. And it is a horrible analogy for me. I have had some horseback riding. Actually, every horseback riding incident I've ever had has not gone well. In the earliest one, I was on a friend's horse in her backyard, and it bucked me onto the backyard. Luckily, there was yard and not just cement. In another occasion, we went out in a pasture, and her horse took off cantering, a word I didn't even know, and my saddle slid sideways as I cantered for the first time, as my horse cantered for the first time, and I was scared out of my mind. On another time, I went on a group ride, and the other horses kept biting at my ankles. And so I asked the leader, "Why are all the horses biting at my ankles?" And they said, "Oh, we assigned you to the female horse that's in heat." Yeah. And that same ride, later, the leader's horse got stung by a bee, bucked her off, she fell off and had a concussion. And the rest of our horses rebelled wildly. They started bucking, and they all made this like very fast beeline back to the stables with all of us beginner riders like holding on for dear life, you know? So needless to say, I am not back in the saddle again. Probably never will be again. However, I am back in the circle again, and I'm very glad to be back in the circle. And to be here together celebrating mothers. You know, now that I think about it, those horse experiences are a lot like motherhood. Can you relate, moms? Bee stings, for one thing. You know, life moving or your child moving faster than you feel like you can handle sometimes. Maybe sometimes feeling like you're getting thrown off. So things like this, maybe even bites, I don't know. But this is one of the reasons why we appreciate our mothers so deeply, isn't it? The antics they put up with. The things, think about the things you put your own mother through, right? The growing pains that occurred. And yet, they still stand by us. Now, I know this isn't everybody's experience. Mothers don't always show up the way that we need them to. But I bet if your own mother did not show up for you, that there's been a mother figure in your life who has. And so celebrate that person today. Maybe even wish them a happy Mother's Day, literally, or if they're in the ethers, out into the ethers. So, you know, my mom's mom really believed in her. And so these mother figures in our lives might really believe in us, or mothers themselves. And she tells a story about how her mom believed in her abilities so much that sometimes it felt really exaggerated. Like this one time they were at this event, and my mom got up from the table to go to the bathroom, and my grandma says, "Are you going to go up on stage and sing now?" And my mom's like, "I don't even sing. No." But she passed this on to me. When I was 6 years old, I was over at my friends David and Tommy Linker's house across the street, and I told them that I wanted to be a doctor when I grew up. And they just instantly, both of them, were rolling all over the floor, holding their bellies, laughing as hard as they could. When they finally revealed what was so funny, David yelled out, "Girls can't be doctors!" And I was so dejected. I was walking home what seemed like, you know, the long, long plank from their front door to mine. And I was just, my shoulders are feeling heavier because I was thinking about the fact that I didn't know any women doctors. My doctor was a man. What other frame of reference did I really have? I was six, right? So I get in the house and I'm like walking over to my mom and I'm thinking, I gotta know. I'm so hopeful, but I'm also a little afraid of her answer. And so I said, "Mom, can girls be doctors?" And then there was like this giant chasm of time. It was probably 1 or 2 seconds, right? But my whole future seemed to hinge upon her answer. And she said these magic words, "Honey, you can be whatever you want to be." Yeah, Mom. Yeah. Yay, Mom. And so, you know, moms deliver for us, and sometimes they fall short too, right? When I came out to my mom, she was not quite as excited about me becoming anything I could be. The embrace wasn't quite the same as the idea of the doctor for some reason. And she said, actually, she could accept it, she said, "But I'll tell you where I'm going to put my foot down." She said, "I do not believe in two women raising children," kind of trouncing on my future prospects as a mother. As it turns out, for a variety of reasons, I didn't end up being a mother myself. But I did end up becoming something that I want to invite all of us into the possibility of. I became a godmother. And this has been such a rich experience. Whether we are literally a godmother to a child, or we move into the essence and idea of what this can be, it is a very powerful promise. So the way that the poet Shalene, suddenly I forgot her last name, Harkin. Oh, yes, you know Shalene Harkin. Yeah, Susceptible to Light is the book I was gifted with by our dear Tyler, who loves poetry as much as I do. And she says in this poem, she invokes this idea of expanding the word mother. She says, "Expand the word mother. Let it encompass the hills, the morning, that which feeds you. Mother is much too big a word for one person to hold. Take it off her shoulders, hand it to community. Warm baths, anything that soothes and restores. Healing is learning to know where to find the mother in her myriad forms, wherever, whenever you need her." So today we celebrate mothers. Physical mothers, mothers who raised us, mothers in our greater world and in our lives, the great mother, the universal mother that permeates the universe, and the power of the innate divine feminine in all of us. So anyone can be a godmother of any age, of any gender expression. If you prefer godfather or godparent or some other title, it's fine as long as you understand what the essence is of what we're saying yes to. You can be godmother to yourself, as well as to children, as well as to other adults, as well as to entire communities, the greater world. What does it look like? What does it feel like? What are some of the ways that godmothers show up? Well, the main idea of a godmother is that they support and nurture the spiritual life of a child. They also can support and nurture, of course, their own and others' spiritual life. Godmothers are wisdom keepers. They're available to listen deeply and at times share a poignant story or an observation that might be helpful to another. Godmothers are beholders and protectors of the unique soul expression of the other. They don't try to get them to twist and bend to be like them or the things that they're into, but they let that person or that child lead the way, or themselves, their truest selves, lead the way. Godmothers nurture our relationship with nature. They wander alongside us and even evoke more awe. Now, Grace, Brenly and I's goddaughter, actually lived with us a lot through her growing years. And every night, Grace and I, when she was a baby, would go outside and we'd look for the moon and we'd say goodnight to the moon. And to this day, she is the first one to spot the moon, and every time with the same level of joy. And so I like to think that I might have had a little influence there on nurturing that relationship with nature. There's so many things that we can do. Godmothers can step in when moms need a break, right? And they can invoke ceremony at those important passages of time, especially firsts, right? First words, first walking, first steps, first day of school, first day on the job, first love, first loss. All of those things, right, can be something that we honor, that we allow, coming of age, that we celebrate. Godmothers help us navigate our disappointments, and they help us keep our commitments. They help us hone our communication so that we can have healthy relationships and connections. Godmothers hold prayers for our well-being, and they have fun, and they spread joy. So what's behind all these ways of being? And it's not an exhaustive list, right? You probably have a lot that you could think of as well. But what's underneath it all is this idea of our innate divine feminine, the innate divine feminine in expression, in its balance with the masculine. And that's what I really want to talk about a bit today, because I look around in our world, and I know you do too, and you experience whatever you experience in your everyday life, but you also hold this knowing, this expression, this observation of what's happening in the world today. And a lot of it is good, and a lot of it is worrisome, right? So there is a really, I'll say more than a hunger, a kind of starvation that we have going on for the divine feminine energy. And our work is to help restore it so that that masculine feminine energy that is in every one of us, regardless of our gender expression, can come back into wholeness, so that our communities and our families can come back into wholeness, so that our world can be restored to its wholeness, to its rightful place, to the way it was intended to be. But how do we begin when we don't really even know what this thing is? We all pretty much know what the masculine is, right? It's doing. We're all familiar with that. It's form. It's physicality. It's intellect. It's action. We get that because we live and breathe it. We know it really well. But what is this feminine thing? In the film As She Is, Jerry Wenstrom, who's an artist and an author, gives this analogy that I think is really potent. He says that the masculine is like a star in the sky. It's all glitter and shine and gets all the attention. He said the feminine is like a black hole in space. Now that, like, worries us, right? Makes us go, what? Which is exactly what I hope you would say. What? Let's see what he means by this. He says that a black hole, we don't really notice it, we don't really pay attention to it, but it has this immense power. It has the power to consume a star or to recreate a new one. And so it's that power that we tend to overlook, that we tend to not notice, and then guess what happens when we get a glimpse of it? we go, oh, wow, that's big stuff. I don't know. I think I'd better try to control it. I think I'd better try to manage it or maybe even destroy it. And so what we do is we move this incredibly immense power of spirit and mystery of spirit into this small box that we feel like we can manage then. And what we do is we reduce it to half the population. We say, oh no, the feminine only belongs to the female. And then, well, we got to get a hold of that too. So let's reduce it further to just simply a physical expression, a prototype, like Barbie, for example. It's been a fabulous marketing campaign, hasn't it? And we have been following it and asleep to it for way too long. It's time we wake up. Remember when Oprah, after Me Too, said, time's up! That's kind of how I feel. Is that how you feel? Time's up! So let's move into the new earth that Eckhart Tolle spoke about, that wrote about, that all of us know and feel and can vision and get little glimpses of and experiences of. But how do we go? Where do we go? Many of us now, even Barbie, are waking up. And so as we awaken, we recognize what's been valued. You know, when what happens with the masculine energy or anything that's out of balance is it overcompensates, right? It overcompensates and then it overpowers. Because the masculine will value sometimes the individual over the collective when it's out of balance. And that's what we see a lot of, right? It will value competition over collaboration. It will bet on winning any day. Winning individually, winning the riches, winning the title, winning the status, before it would ever bet on the greater good. And what we then see as a result is the trampling of the sacredness of life. What we then see is poverty and war. And so the time is overdue for us to wake up to it and to allow ourselves then to return to kindle these characteristics within ourselves, to let them rise up, to let them become visible in the world, out of that place. Now, the black hole, this idea of the black hole, is very much like all the creation stories, particularly the one that many of us are familiar with from Genesis, right? Over the face of the deep, the black waters, the dark waters, and it's out of that that all of creation came. And so why would we want to push that away, to hide that power that we have to co-create the next evolution? Because you know we're on the apex of that, right? You feel, we know this, right? These spiritual beings in this room, you guys are so advanced. You get it, you feel it, you know it, that we are on this apex of change, that the earth is evolving. And it will evolve with us or without us, but won't we help the process and become all that we can be and let the earth become all that she is meant to be by moving with it in the direction that is of wholeness and balance and using all the gifts we have available to us, including this power of creativity, this impulse to create, this sense of what is possible, this divine potential, this deep silence, this mystery of spirit that moves through space and us. And that's what we're tapping into when we say yes to this power that we have so long belittled, so long even tried to legislate, maim, kill, reducing once again the feminine to just the female body. It's so much more. So these many characteristics of the feminine come forth from this idea. I'm focusing on the spaciousness because so much comes forth from the spaciousness idea, right? So much is possible out of the spaciousness. So the collective spiritual call now is to embrace it, to allow it, to work with it, to let it be birthed and emerged into our world and our lives and all of our relations. And this call, it's not new. I know we always think we're on, you know, this is it, right? We've never experienced this before. But these cycles are not new. They're just opportunities that come around again and again and again. And we've got a rich one at our fingertips now. But even 3,000 years ago in the Bible, there's a story of a young king who reached for his divine feminine and allowed her to be seen and known and ruled with that sense of balance between the masculine and the feminine. That young king was named Solomon. When Solomon came into his rulership, he asked God for one thing: wisdom, to rule with fairness in the kingdom and wisdom. And God was so pleasantly surprised. Oh my God, can you imagine all the kings that have beseeched the king for riches and power and status? And he was like, whoa, this is a different kind of king. Or she, of course, or it. That energy of God said, I'm going to tell you what, Solomon, I will give you a full measure of wisdom, and I'm going to give you all the personal riches you could ever dream of as well, because you didn't ask. And Solomon then showed his wisdom over and over again. In one case, two women came to him, and they were fighting over this baby, both saying the baby was theirs. It's my baby. No, it's my baby. And it went on and on, this argument, and this, each of them their stories about it. And Solomon just said, hold it. Bring me my sword. Now, this thing makes it sound like we're going down an out-of-balance masculine, right? But then he did that, not because he was going to commit some kind of gruesome act. He threatened he's going to cut the baby in two, and they're going to each go off with half the baby. But he only did this because he knew that the true mother would immediately reveal herself. Because what would be so important to the true mother is that the baby remain whole, that the baby remain intact, that the baby remain in its purity, in its essence, more so even than her having possession of her own child. And so Solomon set it all up because he knew immediately the right mother would say, you have the child, don't harm her. And then Solomon said, give the baby to her, that's the mother. Now what we need today, let's pray for this, is more Solomons in leadership with her feminine intact. But you know, we don't have to wait around for formal leaders to take place to catch up with what we already know in this room right now. Because we are all leaders and contributors to life. The power of the people, right, is here in each of us. And so it's how we decide to say, I'm waking up to that. I'm invoking that power. I'm allowing that power of the divine feminine to move and have its being in me so that I can be healed, so that I can become a whole being and I can contribute to the earth in such a way. So that critical mass can tip the scales at this apex of time and the earth's evolution in this cycle and move toward what it is that we want to truly experience and know in our bright future. So, where do we go from here? As we call it forth, as we call forth this divine feminine, as we allow this divine feminine to come forth for us, it might be very much like what Jesus said in the Gospel of Thomas, how we do this. He said, if you bring forth what is within you, what is within you will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. So what does it look like to bring forth this divine feminine energy in each of us and for all of us? Let's return to that spaciousness, that beingness, that willingness to enter the deep silence, to dance with the mystery of spirit. What does that look like? It looks like befriending the unknown, being willing to open ourselves and to be led. allowing ourselves to be loved as we are truly loved. I don't think we have a clue how much we are loved by this permeating universal mother energy. It's available to us at all times. It's the allness that we talk about in our first principle, and that second principle, the eachness in all of us. And so it's that work that we are constantly with. Your presence is such a gift here. Do you know that? Presence is a feminine quality. Just being here, showing up. We have a young mother who comes to the 9:30 service, and she just recently had her second baby. She told me last week, she said, "I want you to know I came here every Sunday you were gone." Why did she tell me that? Because she saw that she was offering her gift of presence to this community during this time, that she was holding space, that she was contributing herself, her attention, her energy. And see, what happens is we offer that, and out of that presence then comes the masculine action. Out of that presence, we might also serve. We might also financially contribute to help take care of our community. That's how it looks when it works together in such a whole way, these energies. So I want to just thank you all for showing up. Showing up today, for many of you showing up and holding space throughout this time, being godmothers to our community. And to continue that, nothing stops now. In fact, we enhance this with each other, working side by side together by saying yes to this call to become a godmother, this call to bring forth the divine feminine in ourselves and in our world. Godmother, an expansion of the word mother. Shalene Harkin says, she begins that poem again, expand the word mother. Mother is much too big a word for one person to hold. Take it off her shoulders. Hand it to community. That's what we did the last 3 months. That's what you did. That's what you did. And I am so grateful that you have the kind of maturity to understand the power of the gift in which you have given, not just me, but all of us, by saying yes to this journey together, by going in blindly, by embracing the unknown. Who's going to come and speak? Are they going to be horrible? Should I show up? How's it going to be? How are things going to run? It's different, right? I'm not saying this is so important for me. I'm just saying there's a role that you're used to, and that person has been removed from the role. What's going to happen? How's it going to go? I'm sure there were some of those feelings. And yet, you showed up. You gave. You served. You brought your presence. You held space. You prayed. You affirmed. You blessed. And helped us tap a deeper divine potential for our community going forward. This is nothing small that has happened here. In the outer, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah, I left for 3 months, big deal. But what's powerful is that we fully engaged the gift that was offered. John Rexroth said it beautifully this week, and he gave me permission to paraphrase him. He said, before you left, we were doing a pretty good job of moving from a minister-centric ministry to a mission-centric one. It's sort of the lingo in the wider world of ministry, that a healthy ministry is one that is based on the mission and the people and the community, not just based on the minister. And so he was speaking to this idea that we were already doing pretty good moving toward it. But he said, it took you going away for us to really experience it, to feel the shift, and to know that we got this together in the circle, the wider circle. So I'm definitely not back in the saddle, but I am back in the circle. So perhaps our new project together then can be becoming godmothers in our community. becoming godmothers to the children of our community, to each other, to ourselves, to remembering the power of this immense divine feminine energy that we just sort of leave there floating out in space somewhere, that's just waiting for us to recognize it and to not run from it or try to control it or destroy it, but instead to go, wow, there's something there, to get curious about it, to inquire, to invite and invoke and allow. So as we become these godmothers, encouragers, blessers, space holders, upholders of this sacred, lovers of life, protectors of life, all these ways that we might show up in this way, we make the community stronger, we make our lives better, and we make the world a more fertile place to rebirth itself into exactly what we would love to experience. So just as Solomon was blessed with way more than he asked for, you too, and all of us, when you say yes to this, will be blessed with much more than we might have asked for. Certainly a more refined sense of purpose, a joy of experiencing our wholeness, and many things yet to be named and experienced. So I want to invite you to intend with me together this idea of Godmother and the restoration of the divine feminine on earth. We need you. We need each other. And the earth needs us. So let's speak it together. I am a Godmother to myself, children, and all life forms. I am restoring the divine feminine for all. And so it is.